You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning from the ESPN studios in Bristol, Connecticut. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN with you for the next hour, and then First Take will be along on this morning after an unprecedented day, something unlike anything we've seen in the history of sports and perhaps well beyond that. It began in the afternoon in the NBA's bubble in Orlando, Florida, just before the Milwaukee Bucks and Orlando Magic were set to play game five of their first run playoff series. Bucks players decided they would not play in protest of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Magic players are warming up. The Bucks never took the floor. That began talks between the players' union and the league and eventually prompted the league to postpone all three of Wednesday's games. The Bucks' Sterling Brown and George Hill made this announcement.
The past 4 months have shed a light on the ongoing racial injustices facing our African-American community. Citizens around the country have used their voices and platforms to speak out against these wrongdoings. Over the last few days in our home state of Wisconsin, we've seen the horrendous video of Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha and the additional shooting of protesters. Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there has been no action. So our focus today cannot be on basketball.
When we take the court and represent Milwaukee and Wisconsin, we are expected to play at a high level, give maximum effort, and hold each other accountable. We hold ourselves to that standard, and in this moment, we are demanding the same from lawmakers and law enforcement. We are calling for justice for Jacob Blake and demand the officers be held accountable. For this to occur, it is imperative for the Wisconsin State Legislature to reconvene after months of inaction and take up meaningful measures to address issues of police accountability, brutality, and criminal justice reform. We encourage all citizens to educate themselves, take peaceful and responsible action, and remember to vote on November 3rd on the behalf of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Thank you.
That was the moment that began a day in which so much transpired. LeBron James posting on Twitter yesterday, as you can see, demanding change. Our Adrian Wojnarowski, our insider, Woj, has been down in the bubble and, of course, has been covering all of this. And so after the postponements of all three of yesterday's games, there was a players' meeting last night at 8 p.m. Woj, for those who are just joining us, take us inside that meeting. What do we know about what was said and ultimately what was resolved?
A lot of emotion in that meeting, Greeny. Ultimately, not a great deal resolved. There will be another meeting this morning at 11 a.m., which will run which will coincide with an owner's call at 11 a.m. with Adam Silver and the league's owners, the Board of Governors. But, you know, listen, there were a lot of voices heard last night. The head of the union, Chris Paul, Doc Rivers, the Clippers coach, they invited coaches in to the meeting and actually got to a point where the players asked the coaches to leave so they could talk more freely. But Doc Rivers spoke. John Lucas, who's an assistant in Houston, former NBA player, spoke. But then the players went back and forth and got into it. And, you know, the Buck players were a little bit on the defensive in that meeting. We were told, you know, essentially a sense of, you know, we had essentially an idea that, hey, guys, we had planned to have a unified effort down here and be unified in whatever we did. And the Bucks not only surprised the rest of the league by not playing, the Orlando Magic were on the court expecting them to come out and literally had to walk off the court. And there was some frustration among players that they put everybody else in a precarious position, although Jaylen Brown got up with the Celtics and essentially said to the Bucks players, you don't have to explain yourselves to me or to any of us. I support what you did. And so there was a lot of that back and forth and a lot of questions, Greeny, of if we don't play, what does that mean? What do we want to accomplish by that? And what's a plan of action of trying to move forward in here that we can articulate and bring to the owners, to the league, about what it is we want to accomplish by either staying and continuing in the bubble or not playing? And the union was in there to explain that the financial implications, short-term, long-term, of not playing, all of it in the end. They come back today. They continue the conversation. And we see if there'll be basketball again this season.
Woj, to the best of your understanding, should we expect a resolution coming out of this 11 o'clock meeting? They will meet, as you mentioned, at 11 o'clock at the same time that the Board of Governors are meeting separately from that. Should we expect that some firm decision about the future of this NBA postseason will come from this meeting this morning?
Greeny, ultimately, there perhaps could need to be more conversation moving forward out of that meeting, because if the players decide we want to continue to play, when do they continue to play? There was a sense last night into this morning that today's three games would not happen. The organizations themselves who are playing in those three playoff games that were set for later today, including the beginning of the Toronto-Boston series, and then on to, you know, Denver-Utah and Lakers-Portland, Clippers-Dallas, wouldn't happen. And so do we essentially take a pause here in the bubble and then pick up again at some point? Or is this the end? And I think those conversations still have to happen between the players and the Players Association and the league. And again, they'll be meeting simultaneously. So I don't know that you'll come out of that players' meeting unless they essentially say, we don't want to go forward. We don't want to play anymore. We're going to leave the bubble. Well, then that is one scenario that could come out of this morning.
All right, Adrian Wojnarowski with the very latest Inside the Bubble. Woj, thank you. And obviously I will continue to come to you as this continues to develop. I want to show some more reactions on social media yesterday. Donovan Mitchell tweeting, we demand change and saluting the Bucks. Trey Young, young star in the league, tweeting, proud to be a part of this league even more today. We want change. And then the legendary Bill Russell said, I'm moved by all the NBA players for standing up for what is right. To my man, the Jet on TNT, for those of you who didn't see, Kenny Smith walking off the set last night on TNT in solidarity with the players. Bill Russell tweeting, I would like to say thank you for what you did to show your support for the players. I'm so proud of you. Keep getting in good trouble. Let's see who we have with us here as we continue our conversation this morning. Richard Jefferson, Tim Legler, and Mark Spears in the bubble. Mark, very quickly, I want to come back to you. I know I'm going to lose you in a couple of minutes here as you have other reporting you need to do. How would you describe the atmosphere there right now? That's what I'm wondering. As you are around these players, and I know you're talking to them, how would you describe the feeling in the air during what is certainly something that we've never seen before in this or any sport? How would you describe the feeling in the air in the bubble right now amongst the players?
Well, yesterday was the first time I felt like I saw despair, especially in like a guy like Pascal Siakam's eyes. He's usually pretty upbeat, and he just looks like defeated. A lot of these guys look defeated, confused, hurt. And I think it boiled over yesterday. How does that change? I don't know if society will allow them to feel any better anytime soon, but I hope they do realize that in here there is a voice that us as the media allows them to have, but ultimately it's how they feel. This isn't an easy place to be, and perhaps they feel like it's time to go, but I know that in this place, for the majority of the players, not the stars, but the majority of the players, their voices are loudest heard in the bubble.
RJ, let me come back to you. You were making a really important point, I think, before we had to go to a break for the top of the hour. And you played so recently. I know you're still friends with a lot of the guys who are in the league, and you may be talking to them. What is your sense of what the players can accomplish by staying and playing? If you were there, what would you be telling them that they can accomplish by staying and playing and remaining as visible as they possibly can?
Well, ultimately, when you talk about systemic and you talk about the police brutality, you have to understand that this is something that has been going on for hundreds of years. So as much as we love shirts and we love symbols, on the court is going to continue to happen. I think we would all be naive to think that, you know, the amazing efforts that the NBA and the players have come together to do would stop and end racism. That's just that's just not true. So whether they're in the bubble or whether they're outside of the bubble, these incidences are still going to continue to happen. Hopefully less frequency, because people are starting to have their eyes open. You know, police officers are starting to handle things in a different way. But I do believe that their voice, like Mark says, a lot of these players that aren't the top tier, the all-stars with 20 million followers on Instagram, a lot of the other voices there, they will be most loud in the bubble. Now, I am not a player, so I support whether they want to play, I will vocally support them. Whether they decide not to play, I will vocally support them. But I want to add one more thing. It's not just the video that they saw of the police shooting an unarmed individual six times in the back. It's also the videos that been going around the last few days about the young boy that left Illinois and then went down to Kenosha and ended up murdering two people. And then you get on social media and you see individuals that are applauding this man. And we're not talking about random Twitter places. We're talking about, you know, Fox News. We're talking about Tucker Carlson. And this is not to get political. I'm just letting you know what these players are seeing and how they are feeling about these moments in time. It's not just one, but then you see other things going on. And so I think the players are forced to deal with all of this without their families, without their kids. Imagine if you are an individual like LeBron James that has a 14 or 15-year-old son, right? And now he can't talk to his son. He can't hug his son. Paul George already talked about the anxiety or the depression being in the bubble away from their families, because their job was not only to play sports, but also to help heal the country. Well, who's there to help them heal while they're going on this mission to do these things and to try and make our country a better place? And so whatever the athletes and whatever the players, and applauding all of the athletes around around the world that have supported this cause. But right now, these guys are in a very difficult spot.
Yeah, that's a very important point and well made. And my understanding is a lot of the families are going through the quarantine process right now, and I think would be able to be reunited with the players on Monday. That is assuming the players are still there on Monday. Tim Legler, as we see this day, yesterday, you're one who played in the league a really long time in a different generation. What's your primary thought this morning?
Well, my primary thought is obviously this was a, you know, an enormous statement by the players. You hope that there is going to be a unified message coming out of this. But here's my biggest concern. Right now, they've got an incredible platform because they restarted the NBA. Everyone is watching and everyone is listening to their message. If they decide to walk away from this, and for me, if you're going to make the statement that they made yesterday, I don't see any way you play tonight. I don't see how you play going forward if what you are saying is we don't feel that we should be down here going about our business as usual as professional athletes with everything that's going on, and we can much better serve the cause by being at home and actively participating in whatever form of a protest that you want to, whether it's individually in your own community, collectively as a team in your respective city, or collectively as a league. Whatever that message is, it needs to be a unified message for the league. And if they leave now, you do worry about that. There will be no eyeballs on them. What are they going to do that they feel like they can affect change in that way, in the most positive way? That's my concern. I feel like when you take steps like this and take measures like this and you act individually as a team initially without having that unified message at the beginning, like this is our intention behind this. These are the specific things we would like to have happen. Because it's one thing, all you hear is we want change, we want change, we want change. Well, when you take this step to shut down the league, basically, you now have to say specifically what you would like to see happen. And that's where we are right now going forward. I want to see what the end game is for the players and what their intention is. And I'm sure after today, after the players meet again, after the Board of Governors meet again, I think we're going to be much clearer in the early afternoon today about what exactly it is the players want to accomplish specifically. Because then I think you can start to wrap your head around, is this the right thing to do right now or isn't it? But I think they were so viscerally affected by all of this, Greeny, the players felt like we have to stop playing right now. This cannot be our primary focus. And so now let's go ahead and collectively figure out the best path forward. And is it to continue to play with so many people watching, or is it to go home and be more actively participating in their cause?
All right, we will find out perhaps more at 11 o'clock this morning. I will pause briefly here. Gentlemen, thank you. Stay with me. Coming up, the NBA acted. So did some baseball teams. How will this impact the NFL? We will get answers from insiders across the sports coming up in just a few moments. And then, if the goal of NBA players boycotting is to maximize attention on racial injustice, would they be more effective spreading their message if they play or they don't? Jalen Rose and Stephen A. answer those questions as we continue. Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up on ESPN. Let's get up and go, because after the NBA decided to postpone their games, there was an extraordinary impact on the rest of sports, including the WNBA postponing all three of their playoff games that were scheduled yesterday. Players left an initial meeting with the feeling they would play. They subsequently decided not to play their games. The National Hockey League did play theirs before Game 3 of Bruins Lightning. The NHL held a moment of reflection during which the words "End Racism" appeared on the Jumbotron. The league, however, did not hold a similar pregame ceremony for its second game of the night between the Avs and the Stars. Three baseball games were postponed yesterday. Reds, Brewers, Mariners, Padres, Dodgers, Giants. Also, some individual players dropped out of other games, including Dexter Fowler and Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals and Jason Hayward of the Cubs. Dee Gordon of the Mariners posted this: "There are serious issues in this country for me and for many of my teammates. The injustices, violence, death, and systemic racism is deeply personal. This is impacting not only my community, but very directly my family and friends. Our team voted unanimously not to play tonight. Instead of watching us, we hope people will focus on the things more important than sports that are happening." Meanwhile, emotional reaction from Anthony Rizzo and Dom Smith after playing their games last night.
"I've gone through a lot with my high school, and it doesn't change. And it's just the fact of the matter. Politicians don't really give a f*** about us. All they care about is their own agenda. And this is just the way it is, and it's upsetting."
"I think the most difficult part is to see, like, people still don't care. And for this, it just continuously happened. I mean, it just shows just the hate in people's heart. And, I mean, that just sucks, you know? And being a black man in America is not easy. So, I mean, like I said, you know, I wasn't there today, but I'll bounce back. I'll be fine."
Now, the emotion overwhelming. Jeff Passan, our insider. Three baseball games postponed yesterday. What should our expectation be regarding the schedule going forward and any other games that might be canceled or postponed?
Greeny, I don't anticipate any games being canceled or postponed today. Right now, the three games that were postponed from yesterday are back on the schedule today as doubleheaders. But then again, I didn't expect the games yesterday to be postponed either. And I think that shows the step that Major League Baseball has taken. I want to illustrate this through some conversations that were happening with the Los Angeles Dodgers and San Francisco Giants yesterday. Now, that game was postponed on account of Mookie Betts saying he's not going to play, and then Clayton Kershaw and his Dodgers teammates backing him up. But you've also got Gabe Kapler, the Giants manager, who's been outspoken about social injustice. You've got Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, the same. And in the conversations between the teams, Greeny, we're not just starting and ending with "let's postpone the game." At one point, they were talking about the possibility of acting like there was going to be a game, walking out onto the field, doing all of the normal things that they do before a game. And then all of the players together standing and walking off the field together and leaving a baseball on the mound. And this was a very powerful thing, potentially, that they could have been doing. Major League Baseball isn't quite there yet. They don't have the unanimity of the NBA. They don't have the social justice bona fides and really everybody coming together the way that other sports do necessarily. But the steps that baseball has taken, even over the last couple of months, seeing what they're doing now, to me, is a great leap forward compared to where they have been in the past, and shows that they are having these conversations and thinking about these awfully important issues.
That's a fascinating story, Jeff. Stay close by. Again, if there are any further developments, I'll come back to you. Meanwhile, to football in Washington, the team there canceling today's practice in response to Sunday's police shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin. Ron Rivera says the team will instead discuss issues of racism and social injustice in America. This comes 2 days after the Lions canceled their practice in order to protest. And I'm being told that literally this just into our newsroom, the Colts today have canceled their practice. So we're seeing that. Our NFL insider is Dan Graziano. Dan, I think that most football fans are probably wondering, the NFL season kicks off 2 weeks from tonight. What are you hearing about the possibility that we could see similar actions taken by NFL players to what we saw from the NBA and Major League Baseball yesterday?
Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute, but Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Greeny, I don't think anybody would rule that out, but obviously, I mean, 2 weeks right now in our modern news cycle is a very long period of time. So before you can answer that question, tell me what the next 2 weeks are going to be like. You know, what's going to happen in regard to the action that NBA players are taking and what kind of impact that can have beyond sports and in their communities, what's going to come out of the conversations that NFL players and their coaches are having in their locker rooms when they meet to discuss these issues, when they cancel practice to talk about these things instead, what's going to be happening in the world at that time. There's no doubt that NFL players, much like their counterparts in these other sports, firmly believe that their voice has an impact and that they have the ability, and not just the ability, but a mandate to stand up and speak out on these things. And if that means walking out of games, if it means walking out of practices, if it means taking a knee during the national anthem, they will not be afraid to do that. So going forward, I think NFL players are keeping a very close eye on this situation while continuing discussions with their team and their league about what can actually be done in their community about the issues that are important to them. And that those discussions are going to continue going forward. I wouldn't rule anything out, but again, a lot's going to depend on what's going on in the world and in these locker rooms when the time comes to make those kinds of decisions.
Well, yesterday, 4 years to the day that Colin Kaepernick first refused to stand for the national anthem. We will take a short break here. Dan Graziano, stay close by. Stephen A. Smith will join me coming up next to discuss whether NBA players would be more effective if they play or they shut their season down. Answers to those and other questions as we continue in a moment. Get up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up after an unprecedented day in the history of sports. Just before the Milwaukee Bucks were set to play Game 5 of a first-round playoff series against the Orlando Magic, Bucks players decided they would not play in protest of the shooting of Jacob Blake. Magic players were warming up. The Bucks never took the floor. That began talks between the players' union and the league and eventually prompted all of the games of yesterday to be postponed. Here was Michael Wilbon on PTI.
It's so difficult, and the point of view can be different from person to person, but the first goal is stop killing people. And Tony, I told you all spring, I am not singing Kumbaya. I don't believe that the country has made a turn. I don't, because people are still getting shot. When people are not shot anymore, then I'll say, okay, let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But I told you all spring, I'm cynical about this. This is why. Kenosha, Wisconsin is why.
Richard Jefferson and Stephen A. Smith are with me here. And if there's one thing I know all three of us share, it is enormous respect for Michael Wilbon. And Stephen A., there is one big question I want to ask you. But before I do, I just would like to get your thoughts today. As we have seen yesterday, a day unlike any we've ever seen before, and we don't yet know what today will bring. What thoughts are first and foremost on your mind today?
Well, my thoughts are I'm proud of the players for taking the stance that taking the stance that they've taken in an effort to bring attention to the plight that the African-American community faces. The NBA is made up of a league at least 75% black. And on far too many occasions, the impression has been, at least from the outside, entertain us, shut up and dribble per se, and go to hell home and be happy with what you have. There are so many people in America that treat these guys like they should be grateful. And it's not that we shouldn't be grateful. It's that they work their tails off for it. They put their feet to the pavement. They went on their grind. They did everything that they could to earn what they have. And they come from communities that are voiceless, people that are disenfranchised, that are marginalized, that are minimized on so many levels throughout American society, in the workplace, in the schools, and beyond. And as a result of that, what do? They come home to these individuals that are subjected to this kind of discrimination, these kind of behaviors, this kind of prejudices, and they have to listen to it. And then they have to endure certain experiences themselves. They see rules are a little bit different for white coaches than it is for black coaches. They see rules are a little bit different for white executives than it is for black executives. They see the paucity of black ownership in the NBA and throughout major professional sports. And they say, this is what we're dealing with. And that is enough in and of itself. But then to see people shot in cold blood, like dogs in the street. You see a George Floyd having an officer kneel on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. In the last 2.5 minutes, George Floyd wasn't even responsive and he still wouldn't take his knee off of his neck. We saw Walter Scott shot in the back 8 times. We've now seen Jacob Blake with his kids in the car shot in the back 7 times. We've seen Philando Castile shot after informing a cop, I have a firearm in the glove compartment. He's in the car with his girlfriend sitting next to him and his child in the back seat, and the officer still shot him. It doesn't matter where you are. Of course, they brought up Breonna Taylor, who was in a home, a wonderful young lady, age 26, with a whole life ahead of her, and she gets blown away by law enforcement officials. There are no arrests. There's no indictment. There are no charges. And then, of course, last but not least, you had Milwaukee yesterday with the Milwaukee Bucks. Why? Because the attorney general, the lieutenant governor, and the governor of Wisconsin appeared to be dragging their feet, and they said, enough is enough. We have to do something. There's an inordinate amount of pressure that is placed on the shoulders of these athletes, not just because of themselves, but because of the communities from whence they come. And you have people speaking, pleading with them to help. And remember what I told you before, Greeny, a white man comes to work with a job to do. A black person comes with a responsibility. Make sure you do this. Make sure you say that. Please touch on this. Trayvon Martin was not a sports story. I could not walk a block in an African-American community throughout this country and not hear, Stephen A., you got to bring up Trayvon Martin. And it was not a sports story. Why? Because I'm a voice. And the voiceless were crying out for those from our community to give a voice to them. That is what we deal with every single day, which is why Charles Barkley said it is exhausting being black at times. But the bottom line is we are here. We are here for a reason, and we can't be tired even when we are tired, because the fight never, ever ends. And it's the only way to survive, to continue fighting for what's right and what is just. And that's what we're looking at right now. The NBA may not be the culprits per se, but they are a part of the society that plays a big role in being a culprit towards a disenfranchised community in this nation. Props to the NBA for having an elevated level of sensitivity and playing, doing their part in assisting the players and bringing attention to these things. But the players are saying it was long overdue. A, the work is not done. B, and C, don't look at us like we're the problem. No, we're highlighting the problem, and we need all the help we can get.
You did. You said that to me probably 10 years ago on Mike and Mike, and I've never forgotten that thought. Richard, you were one of those players very recently. The pressure that Stephen A. is talking about, how would you describe that? Could you give an illustration of ways in your life that you felt that pressure while you were playing and that you imagine the players feel it now?
Well, you do. You have to speak out. There's always that survivor's remorse. There is the don't forget where you came from. You have all of this. My father, was murdered just 2 years ago due to gun violence. Gun violence is a serious issue in our community. And on top of that, how it's policed and how we are policed in our communities is a big issue. And so when I listen to Stephen A. talk about being the voice for the voiceless, that is what the responsibility that these athletes are feeling. On top of having to perform, you look at Paul George, whose head and heart could be heavy, dealing with anxiety, dealing with a bit of depression. And then on top of it, he's got to go out there and perform while away from his children, while away from his loved ones. And then we're going to criticize him for his performance. That is a lot. That is a lot to deal with right now. But we don't have any excuses for him. Well, maybe his shoulders bother him. Oh, he's not playoff P. No, he's dealing with a lot, as are a lot of people in this country. So, you can see what these players are dealing with. You can understand the stress and that people are looking at them to be examples, to be leaders, and they have led. And the NBA has given them an amazing platform, and the players have used the platform combined with the NBA to bring attention and to raise awareness. But ultimately, these players, only they can decide what they want to do and what they feel is best. And I'll say it again, if they choose to play, I will fully, fully support them. If they choose to not play, I fully, fully support them. The one thing that I will say is I was on a text chain with a bunch of guys that I played with, and I was like, people ask me all the time if I miss playing basketball. And the answer is no, I was fortunate. I played long enough. I was good. But this is a time right now where I wish I was still playing so I could be on the line with my brothers and so many of them that are still in the middle of this battle.
So well said. Stephen A., I've been waiting all morning long to ask you this because I really would like to know your opinion. If the players' singular goal here, their primary focus is to effect the most possible and effective change, most impactful change they can regarding issues of social justice and racial equality. Do you believe they can best accomplish that by continuing to play or by essentially boycotting the remainder of the NBA postseason?
I think they can continue, they can do it by continuing to play. That's my personal opinion. I'm not advising them to take one position one way or the other, because I'm going to support whatever position they take as long as it's a collective decision where they take into account all the necessary risk and still say, this is what we want to do. No matter what that decision is, they're my brothers and I'm going to stand by them. It's just that simple. But I do think it's important to recognize what the risks are. And when we sit up here and we think about what's going to transpire, we have to understand something here, Greeny. You have a situation where you have the NBA looking at them. I had somebody in the league yesterday tell me this. This is last night at about 1 a.m. because I've been up since 4 a.m. until 4 a.m. talking to numerous owners, executives, coaches, players, etc. And here's what one individual in the league said to me. Doc Rivers' speech was so profound, so special, so riveting, so resonating. Millions of people saw it. If the games weren't being played and Doc Rivers had just taken a selfie saying the same thing, maybe hundreds would have seen it. The fact of the matter is, the point that was being made is that his team playing and participating in this bubble has elevated the level of profile that exists for the players. The vast majority of them, LeBron doesn't need it, but most of them do. And as a result of it, we believe the NBA is having a profoundly positive impact on what the agenda for the NBA players are. Now, obviously, you can listen to something like that and you can say, okay, you're the NBA. You spent about $200 million in the bubble. You had already lost hundreds of millions of dollars, if not more. You can talk to the players about how they'll lose hundreds of millions of dollars in player salaries alone if the games don't continue. How there's close to $1 billion at stake if there's no NBA finals on ABC because of the league's television contract with the network. You can point to the billions that are going to be lost and say that might be motivation for the owners or league executives and what have you saying such things. My point is, are they telling the truth or are they not? And if they are telling the truth and you as players stand to lose billions of dollars because a collective bargaining agreement is going to reopen and what have you, those are risks that you have to take into consideration before you make this decision. We have to remember they did not come back to play in the bubble just because they love the game of basketball. They came back to protect the vast majority of the collective bargaining agreement they had reached with the league a couple of years ago. Because had they not done so, the league gets to rip up the CBA, come back to the table, taking into account the losses accrued and the losses they're projecting to accrue, and saying to the players, we partners, right? So we lost all of this. It could be $4 billion, it could be $5 billion. Where's your stake that you're willing to give back? Because you got to give something back. This is the kind of stuff that led to Chris Paul, LeBron James, and everybody else in between, the Andre Iguodala's of the world and others who are on the executive committee and stuff. This is what led to them electing to come back to play. They have to remember that when they're sitting down to make a decision going forward. And if they say, we know, we got it, but we're still willing to sit out for the rest of this season to make that point. Not only do I think that they would obviously be supported by the society at large, but I think a lot of owners would support them as well, assuming that you're willing to, suffer in terms of economic losses just the way we will suffer. Nobody wants the games not to continue, but you have to take those things into consideration and understand what you're working with and what you're working against in this climate.
That's such an important point. And Sir Richard, I guess I would just ask you on the issue of unity or unanimity, if you will, how important do you think it is that whatever it is the players decide to do, that they consult everyone, that they're going to meet today at 11 o'clock. They need to emerge from this doing something with one voice. That feels very important here. How does something like that get done?
Well, I think that was a little bit of the confusion with the Milwaukee deciding to sit out. Everyone supports them. There is not one guy in that bubble that didn't support that move. The only issue is inform the group that this is what we're considering. This is what we're thinking. We're letting you guys know. And I don't think that that was fully communicated, even though everybody supported him. And in that meeting, Woj talked about it. They felt like the Milwaukee Bucks were getting a little, not on the defensive, but trying to explain themselves. And Jaylen Brown stood up and said, hey, look, you don't have to explain anything. We'll fully support you. And that is a great point. But it's the same thing. Everyone doesn't have to agree when they come in, but they do need to say we're united. It's like, hey, maybe there's guys that want to play and the majority of the group decides that we don't want to play. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm outvoted here. I will stand next to my brother. So to your point, it is about, you know, having a unity. It is about a united message. And let's look around and see what happened. Well, next thing you know, baseball games have been postponed. You start to look at, you know, athletes across the globe are starting to sit out. And so these are things that are like, once you are united, then everyone can unite around you. But if there's any division, that division will be used against you.
Stephen A., I just have a moment here because I need to let you start getting ready for your show about 15 minutes from now. First Take, of course,
Take your time, Greeny.
On ESPN.
I'm good. But take your time.
Fair enough. Thank you. My question to you is, you said that you were on the phone with so many people until 4 o'clock this morning. We know that there are simultaneously today plans for at 11 a.m. a Board of Governors meeting and the players to meet. What are the things that you are expecting to happen today? What should we as fans and all of us, what do you know of what will happen today and the expectations for what this day might bring?
My expectations, A, is that there won't be any games tonight. B, that the likelihood that there will be any games before the end of this weekend is a worse than 50-50 proposition. C, that the NBA will stand up and remind these guys, while we understand that, you know, your position and we will expect how much all of this has hit you, let us remind you, we're not the enemies here. We're your friends. We've capitulated to practically everything you wanted for that bubble. We stand with you. We've gone out publicly. We've had teams issue individual statements about how we stand with you. We've committed resources over the next 10 years and beyond to facilitate you ultimately capturing whatever it is that you want. So sit down, get your heads together, decide what it is that you want. Tell us. And in all likelihood, we will do whatever we can to assist in helping you get that. Whether that's communicating with local and state officials, with sponsors and advertisers, whether it's connecting with lobbyists to go up on Capitol Hill, whether it's helping to influence the direction in which our country is going. Whatever it takes, we will help you. But you have to have a plan. You have to tell us what that is. And you have to tell us how you believe we should go about doing it. We might have our own thoughts, but we need to hear from you. Those are the kind of things I anticipate is going to happen today. Because here's where the players, regardless of everything that's been going on, George Floyd, now Jacob Blake, and everything in between. If you come to the owners and the league about canceling this season, it can't be just because there's violence in the street and we're tired of it. It has to be, what are we going to do about this as a league? What can we do to fix this? Because without that, it's not just about this season. Why have a next season? Because do we really, really think, Greeny, RJ, that another shooting of an unarmed black man is not going to happen? Do we really believe that black people are not going to continue to be marginalized and demeaned and treated less than what they are? Do we really believe that we're going to accomplish equality when it has not happened in 400 plus years? Of course that's not going to happen. So the bottom line is, if you don't have a plan of action to present to people in powers that contribute to the political apparatus that exists within our country to ultimately provoke change, if you don't have a plan to provoke them to act, essentially you could sit up here and say, there's not only a reason to cancel this season. If you're going to cancel the rest of this season, you could cancel next season too without a plan. If it's just about, oh, there's violence in the street and we've got to do something about it, and that's all you're saying. Because 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I promise you, unfortunately, if you are a black person, you believe in your heart that that is going to happen to some degree. We're going to have those complaints. That's the bottom line. You got to have a plan of action.
Stephen A. Smith with me here, and we're 12 minutes away from the start of First Take. Steve, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing this morning. Thank you, Stephen A. First Take coming up. Richard Jefferson, sure. Continue with you. We'll take a short break and we'll continue. NBA players in the bubble meeting less than 90 minutes from now to discuss these next steps. We are back in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Back on Get Up with this developing story. The Washington football team, as well as the Colts and the Jets, have canceled their respective practices in response to Sunday's police shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin. Earlier this morning, Troy Vincent, NFL VP and former player, was emotional in discussing all of these issues on KJZ Radio.
Can you know? Man, this is this
gather yourself, Troy. Gather yourself.
This gotta end.
Gather yourself.
I'm so proud.
You got it, brother. You got it.
Of these young boys, these young men and women, they did things that I didn't think about doing. I always fought for the community, but during my time, we thought we had a handle on it, and obviously we didn't. But when I saw Doc Rivers and LeBron and George Hill, it's I think about my three boys. Dang it. As we would say, a unified people always defeat unified money. And I'm just proud. I'm proud of what I'm seeing take place.
It's an emotional Troy Vincent again, NFL executive VP. He was a player in the league for a very long time, talking with Keyshawn and Jay and Zubin this morning on ESPN Radio. First Take is coming up in just a matter of moments. We'll take a short break and we'll bring in Stephen A. and Matt. Stephen A. and Matt, just a few minutes away right here on ESPN. Saturday on ESPN Plus, the UFC Fight Night main event features light heavyweights Anthony Smith taking on Alexander Rakic. ESPN Plus coverage starts at 6 Eastern, with the main card starting at 9 Eastern. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And that is all the time that I have here with you. Get Up on ESPN. I thank you for getting up with us today with the very latest, again, on this morning after a day unlike any that we've ever seen in this country or maybe anywhere else in the history of sports. And a day where a great many developments are still to come, and we'll be covering them for you all day long. I will see you noon Eastern, coast to coast on ESPN Radio with the very latest with the NBA players and the NBA Board of Governors set to hold simultaneous meetings at 11 a.m. Eastern. We will see what comes from those. So I will talk to you on the radio, and First Take will start talking to you here right now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.